Miriam.
You're with us quite some time now, yeah?
Yeah, for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. What brought you here?
I came for a holiday in 2010 with my husband, and I loved... I don't exactly know what I loved, but I think I can say that I loved the feel of Auroville. And I really like the idea and the philosophy of Auroville. So I don't really understand much about the integral yoga and Sri Aurobindo's teachings, but I still really, really appreciate what Auroville is working towards. So after I left from that holiday, I always wanted to come back. And now I was in between jobs, transitioning from one to the other, and I had some time, so I thought I should go back to Auroville and experience it more. And radio was a great way of doing it because I have my major in communications and I thought I could contribute more.
But you ever work on the radio or newspaper maybe?
No, I done some journalistic work for Microsoft as part of a PR agency in London, but never in a radio.
What were your expectations? Did you have any expectations about the radio or anything, the experiences you will get here?
My expectations from the radio were just to be able to do new things professionally, which I have done, definitely. And my expectations from staying in Auroville was to do new experiments with myself.
Which you did?
Which I definitely did. I tried several new things which I would have never done anywhere else in my life. And I really feel grateful and I feel very happy that I took the decision to come.
Mm. Which were those new things?
The new things at the radio were learning a new software, going out and talking to people, just strangers or, you know, or being able to come up with things to talk about spontaneously. And I also worked on a full-fledged documentary, which I think is a very great personal feat for me. I was a little apprehensive, but in the end it worked out with everyone's help. And personally, around Auroville, I did laughter yoga. I'm living with 80 other people who were complete strangers to me before I got here. I tried hypnosis.
You tried hypnosis?
Pudanga. Yeah.
So how that works?
It was a very good experience. Through hypnosis, I think I was able to collect all my scattered thoughts. And in that state of hypnosis, I could understand my thoughts better. And I came up with the answer to the big question about what am I looking for?
And what you're looking for?
In short, in a very short answer is that I know that I'm looking for... Now I know that I'm looking for things to... more creative things to do in my life, and that's my way, that gives me more peace. And so creative things means doing things by my own hands, because I realized through hypnosis that when I was a child I used to love doing handicrafts and pottery and all that, and somehow over the course of the years, through because of teachers, because of parents getting very irritated with me messing up the whole house and all that, I left one thing after the other. So those crafts turned into a hobby for painting. So I started painting, but that kind of also I had to leave on the way. And that then eventually, over all these years, it turned into writing, which I'm now doing professionally. So I think what I really, really wanted to do was craft, but what I ended up doing was writing because I needed a way to express. So that is what I want to do. And I also learned another thing through hypnosis, which was what not to do, and which is stop looking for people's approval. So just do things for me, and I think this is also what Auroville has taught me, and it is very important for me from now on, that I need to develop me first and then look at the outer world and what other people think of me.
Or maybe what you can contribute with that to me.
Yeah, exactly.
You are a writer, and that was really amazing thought, you know, somebody with your age comes and said, I'm a writer.
I'm a writer in the sense that I write. I've mostly written only for businesses, but I did a major in creative writing, and I've done one picture book for children, and I'm trying to write more stories and get them published in some way or the other. But I think after this experience, after being in Auroville, I got time to think about what I was writing. And somehow, very organically, without me really thinking about it consciously, I started writing a story which I never want to get published. And it's now like a never-ending story, and every day I add an episode to it. And whatever I experience throughout the day, I transfer it onto the characters and I let them kind of take their own decisions and come out with some solutions. And most of the time, there's never a solution to whatever I'm going through. But at least I'm able to better understand my own situation.
So you're more writing for yourself then?
Yeah, now I'm writing more for myself. So I don't know if I'm ever going to be published or not. I'm still getting published by writing for businesses. Which is okay for me.
Still, I think because you said you are going home and you're gonna write, and I was curious, you know, what is this big book you're writing about?
It's not a big book, it's actually a very small book. I want to write several books. These are picture books for children between 5 to 8 or 10 years. And they mostly deal with very scientific things like the water cycle or the primary colors or pollination. And I turn them into fables, like fantasy stories where the colors become little children and a water drop becomes a little child. And the flowers speak and the seeds, you know, which germinate, they have their own experiences. And it's a way of introducing children to these things without getting them bored.
You want to be a teacher?
I would love to be a teacher.
So then why you are not a teacher?
Because I never wanted... Yeah, I think I'm still not a teacher because every time I try to explore that opportunity, I realize... And this is when I was not in Auroville. So I realized that I'll have to do this very boring course, this teaching course, which is called a BEd, a Bachelor of Education. And I was not up for it. But also after coming to Auroville, for the radio, I attended a workshop on Waldorf education. And I discovered that there are other ways of becoming a teacher. And maybe that's the next step, I don't know.
Okay, we are now with the teaching, and you've seen, I think, two schools, right? So what do you think about this system of teaching around here?
I saw one school, which is Deepenham School, and I went to Future School for this workshop, talk on Waldorf education. As far as, you asked me about integral education, right?
No, I mean, in general, what is your... Because I think you got some kind of overall view on education around here still.
Mm. my views on education here in Oroville are obviously based upon most of my own personal experience as a student in CBSE schools. And I'm very happy to see that teachers here are starting to take up the role of mentors and guides rather than trying to teach something to children or like drill it into their brains, which is extremely different from what they used to do at CBSE schools when I was studying. Now, as a professional, when I started working, I've been realizing that there's hardly any education that I got at school that I'm using now in my real life.
Scary thought, yeah? You waste so many years.
Yeah. I think what I learned most at school, in CBSE schools, was to be social, to be patient with teachers, to build up a stamina for their, you know, their, shall I say, mood swings, or it can be really difficult, you know. I was talking to a lot of people in Mitra Guest House, most of whom are doing their graduation, and we somehow started talking about experiences in schools, and most of them shared such traumatic stories where teachers have really, really mistreated or said something in the class and at a very young age, and that fear has always stayed with them. And but when I talk to children around here in Oroville, they seem much more confident, a little disciplined around parents and teachers, but still less scared than what I used to be.
As far as I remember, you said you also study in London, yeah? In England, yeah.
I did my major in London.
You can... I think there's a huge difference between Indian system, school system, and the English one, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. When I went to my university in London the first day, I was blown away. And I thought, this is what I want in my life, because there was a three-story library. And the collections of books just made me feel like I could spend all my life here just in this library. But also, I had no exams. I was doing a master's in creative writing, and my exam used to be my stories. We used to have to write beginnings of novels or short stories or feature articles, and that's what we would get our marks on. And there was hardly any one-to-one classroom teaching. It was mostly self-study and then speaking to the guides, which was just amazing. That is what I wanted to do all my life, and that is...
It was given to you.
Yeah, that is what was given to me, and I just wish it was there back in school.
Just said I live my life the way I want. I got nothing to hide, nothing at all. Life is not a fairy tale. They should know that life is real. I live my life the way I want. I got nothing to hide, nothing at all. Life is not a fairy tale. They should know that life is real. And now you are leaving, yeah? Are you gonna come back? And you may be taught to join the Oroville or something? Is there any ideas about that?
I definitely want to come back. I don't know, I might just come back in a week or whenever I get a chance. I've run out of money, and that's why I have to go back.
Harsh reality.
The harsh reality, yes. But as far as joining Oroville is concerned, I'm not sure about that. Most of the people I see joining Oroville are people who have spent a good part of their life living it as, you know, I don't know, should I say, earning money and saving it and whatever, they have children and, you know, the children are settled and now they're coming in, or so mostly people above 50, and that's the kind of people I've met who were wanting to be newcomers. And I wonder what would my life be like if I come and stay here, because right now I'm living with Mitra with a whole lot of young people, younger than me or my age or slightly older than me, and I connect with them a lot more. But if I come and live here, I'm not sure. And more than that, I don't even have that kind of money to come and stay.
So my guess would be, you know, you haven't met any, we call them young Aurovillians.
I have met young Aurovillians, but not young newcomers or people wanting to be newcomers.
What was your impression of young Aurovillians?
The young Aurovillians, I think, are the people who are really looking for experiments. They want to do a lot of new kind of stuff, and there's a lot of ambition towards, which is ambition in a very good way, about, you know, bringing some radical changes in the way people live. And but unfortunately, I've not been able to have like a good chat about their view of their views on human unity or anything. I think maybe because it's just a way of life for them. It's just a new thing for me. And but what has it been inspiring is the people I've worked with, which is in the radio. And it's only today I realize that Andrea is about 20 years older than me. And when I speak to you, Miriam, I don't remember, or most of the time I forget that you're a mother of two children. And you guys have a lot of energy, a lot of drive to do things, and you may or may not have issues about Oroville, but you don't let it affect you because you're so firm in your ideas that, yes, you're here to serve what Oroville is all about, the idea of Oroville. And that is inspiring. And I think this kind of determination is hard to see in other people that I've spoken to. I mean, you know, we were talking about the young Aurovillians. So like I said, I don't see them talking so much about the idea of Aurovillians or see the same kind of drive in them. They have a drive for doing experiments and doing new things. But for human unity, maybe I couldn't talk to them about it. But here, because I've worked with you guys, and I see that that is inspiring for me.
Yeah, you got a point that somebody who was born here is actually... it's come with the place that human unity is supposed to exist here, and we're all coming from different roots.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just taken for granted.
Yeah.
And when somebody comes from outside, like as me and Andrea did, then it's not for granted, it's a blessing, yeah? That you got the chance to be in a place like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's also true that radio, we're coming from really different places.
Yeah.
But still it's something that connects us. We want to do something, we want to share the news, we want to inform people.
Somehow. It's not just that.
On a level that is satisfying with equality, yeah?
Yeah. And there's in some ways, I think what I was also trying to say is that in many ways you're very young at heart. I was going to say something.
But that was flattering. Too afraid to make a choice, cause I'm scared of the things that I might be missing. Running too fast to stop to listen. It's time to step out on faith. I gotta show my face. It's been elusive for so long. Look what I have found. Strength, courage. going home to Delhi. What you will do now?
Look for a job. A job where I don't have to go back to the corporate life of working from 9 to 9, but being able to spend more time with myself.
On Saturday we saw a play, Urban Tao Ecocentric. Do you think that this play apply also to like New Delhi or Chennai or Bangalore or Mumbai or those big places?
It's a big question. But I'll tell you frankly what I feel. I think the Urban Tao Ecocentric play started at a point where this guy was already disappointed by his life. So he goes and finds industrial kind of lifestyle, and then he gets disappointed by that as well, and then he looks for the spiritual path. As far as Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, and all these metro cities are concerned, I think that they are at a very nascent stage. They have just started enjoying the growth and the development. They like the fast life, the hustle bustle. And they're not yet at the stage where they've started to be dissatisfied. It's there. People come back. When I worked in Delhi, in this big IT company, people would come back home and they would say so much about being tired, about not having time for themselves, no quality of life. But they still do want to be there in that 9 to 9 job, in that fast corporate life, because they also want the money. They're enjoying the growth. They're not able to take a decision of like moving on and trying to do something new.
So I think they haven't figured out that basically working from 5 to 9, it does bring you money, and the money makes you buy things you produce, but you don't need them.
No. It's not like they've not figured out. They probably have, or they, I don't know. I can't say, but they certainly realize that there are lots of disadvantages of that such a lifestyle, but they are not dissatisfied enough to move away from it and try something else.
Yeah, it takes courage.
Yeah, I'm going back now. I love Auroville. I love the lifestyle I lived here, but I'm still apprehensive about coming back and living here. And I am still going to go back and look for another job again in Delhi or maybe another city like that, because you know there are practical needs, and I also don't have the courage to leave everything behind and move to an alternative lifestyle.
It's really developing into as we are supposed to surrender and be provided.
Yes, exactly.
It's not that easy. Otherwise, you think the Auroville is on the right path? Somehow with all the experiments, all the trying to be unity in diversity, with the new buildings, with stuff?
Okay, that's again a very big question, if Auroville is on the right track or not. I don't know. But in terms of experiments, in terms as a place of experiments on human unity, which kind of gets translated into experiments on a greener planet or a more peaceful lifestyle or a more happy lifestyle. So in terms of the experiments, Auroville is very, very inviting for the people from outside, or at least it was for me. So in a way, I think it is on the right path. I'll tell you something about the people I see in Mitra. There are people from Holland, France, Germany, lots of parts of India, Russia, and then there were also these Bulgarian artists. And there's this person from Italy. So when these people came in around the time when I came, none of us had much idea about human unity. We know that it's a very good concept, and we want to know more about it. But by coming to Orville, it gave us an opportunity to explore it more. People are now, after 1 month, I see them reading books by Sri Aurobindo or something. Somebody's reading on integral yoga. I'm reading a book where a mother has answered questions to children's questions. And somebody is learning about the Indian culture and how that... and they're trying to find relationships between their countries and their mythologies or philosophies and how they are being practiced in Orville or how the two connect. And I think because, for one reason, that Orville gives that opportunity to explore more on human unity, that itself is a good sign, a sign that it is on the right track.
Cool. That's, actually, that's really inspiring even to me.
I think I want to say in the end that I really respect and appreciate what Auroville and Aurovillians are trying to do. Obviously, even as an outsider, I could notice there are lots of issues. Little bit of kind of little political tussles going on in one nook and corner. But then... that apart, the larger picture is that it's a great place to be. I'm not saying come here and stay, because I'm not sure about that. But it's a great place to experience, to explore more about human unity. And I personally would love to come back for a much longer period and spend more time here. I am real for me to talk, like life is real and you should know. Me happy ayo, coco makin feel no foe. I am real from head to toe, just like my heart and like my soul. Me happy ayo, coco makin feel no foe. I am real from head to toe, like life is real and you should know. Me happy ayo, coco makin feel no foe. I am real from head to toe, just like my heart and like my soul. Me happy ayo, coco makin feel no foe.
What is your experience, or what is your thought about our relationship with the local villages?
When I came to the radio and I saw a lot of documentaries, that was my first assignment, to upload a lot of documentaries on the TV website. And because of that, I realized that Auroville is doing a lot of hard work to try and involve communities and let them also take up some of the good values or good practices around, you know, maybe it could be farming or it could be sewage or it could be women's education and or even arts and dance and all that. Then there was a time when I used to go out and I used to be really scared not scared, but a little apprehensive or a little tensed about having to go out and deal with the local villagers, just, you know, when I needed to buy things from the village around me or something. So because there is that thing that, you know, that they would look at me as a tourist and they would want more and more money out of me or give me the petrol, which is, you know, which is... adulterated with kerosene,
yeah.
Or those simple things. This started to make me like kind of want to stay away from them, and then there was when I went to the International Women's Day meeting, where a lot of village women came and they really mingled with us, and we had a great time together. I told them a story, and then someone from the village translated it. She's a social worker called Surya. She translated it into Tamil, and the women seemed to enjoy it very much. And then they did laughter with Fif. And so it was all great. And then I wanted to go back and speak to them again. However, just 2-3 days ago, I was coming back from the village, back into Auroville, and a couple of guys started coming behind me and wanting to talk to me, wanting to stop me. And so then I tried to get away. They were following me. But in the end, I got rid of them. So there is a lot of mixed experience with the villagers. I'm not able to decide if, you know, I want to go close to them and learn more about their life, because in the end, it's not just Oroville. It's also about the people around it, and, you know, especially because Oroville is working with them to help them improve their lives in many ways. So I want to go out and work with them, but also I'm a little apprehensive, so it's very mixed, my relationship with them.
I have to ask you, because I'm trying to figure out for myself, but maybe you will have an idea why they are hostile towards us. Some of them, not all, but some, they are really hostile. Which you also felt like as a tourist?
I thought it was just for me, that kind of... because I just felt that they're more clever than me and they can take advantage of me in terms of taking more money from me for little things. But...
You don't have a clue.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't even realize that they were hostile.
I mean, you know, groping the girl, raping the girls, taking the money, although they don't need it.
Okay. So okay, maybe when you say that, you're also trying to figure out for me. I think now I can relate a little better. I lived in Mumbai for a year, and in Mumbai, it's very common for slums to come up around these very posh buildings, and the rich people, or considerably rich people, who live in those big buildings, have the fear of going closer to the people in the slums. And I think maybe, and the people in the slums feel that, how can they like get more and more? Although they also get their jobs from these same people in the big buildings. So there is a give and take relationship, but also there is this kind of little tension between the two sides. So one is like at a higher status and one is not, maybe socially or financially. So there is that little tension. So maybe it's the same kind of thing. I don't know, do they think that you're more privileged?
If you think of terms of social or, you know, economical wealth, they are far richer than most of us. So that's the part I don't understand.
I wouldn't know.
You don't know?
No.
Sorry to bother you with that.
It's okay.
Divya, thank you. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks a lot, Miriam, for talking to me. And yes, I do hope to see you soon. I think love is nothing but the truth. Something inside of me and something inside of you. Love is faith and loyalty. Love is sharing, love is to believe. I think that is what love could be, and so much more, 'cause love is deep. Love is deep. What is love?